Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki Balancing Form and Essence. Well, as I said in my last program, I'm investigating Reiki communities around the world. And the first one that I came to through a video, we'll talk about that later, was the Midwest Reiki community out of Chicago, Illinois, here in the United States. And I loved the video, and I saw that they had produced and are distributing other videos about Reiki. And then I went to their website, and I was very captivated by the energy of the website. It seemed vivacious and enthusiastic and professional all at the same time. I really liked the feeling of it. And so I wrote to them and asked them if they would be interested in interviewing for the program. And the four founders of this community have consented to be interviewed. And I'm very, very happy because I get a lot of requests from people who want to know if Reiki is in Chicago, and of course it is, because this is one of the places that Hawaii Otakata taught for many, many years, in the 1970s especially, before she died. And there were some very strong masters that came out of Chicago area, and it's also very close to well, it's in the heartland of the United States, so a lot of people go and teach there. I have with me today Molly Cooling, who is one of the founding members, and thank you, Molly, so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for inviting all of us.
Oh, I'm thrilled, actually. Mm-hmm. And I would really love to hear your Reiki story, because we don't really know each other, and it's a great way to get to know one another is to hear a Reiki story. So can you share that with us?
Sure. So I consider myself new to Reiki, but have always sort of sensed that there was something like that out there. It wasn't something I heard of growing up or even in until I was in my 30s. And I first heard the word Reiki when I was at an event. I've been a runner for many, many years, and I was doing a weekly run with a group of women out of a local running store here in Chicago. And once a month, we would have a presenter on sort of a different health-related topic that they thought we might be interested in. And so this particular week, there was a presenter talking about Reiki.
Uh-oh.
And I was intrigued knowing that it was some sort of healing art. And I stayed after to listen to her talk. And the presenter actually happened to be Heather McCutcheon, who would become my teacher and also be a co-founder of the Midwest Reiki community. But at the time, I was just blown away by the experiences that she talked about in terms of her sort of sensing this energy and understanding how it affected her without really having a name for it. And then when she finally realized what was going on, where that led her. And so I walked away from that presentation, feeling curious, not 100% motivated to pursue anything yet, but just sort of, wow, that's interesting that is out there. The friend that I was with, on the other hand, sort of thought it was sort of nonsense, but she also understood that I was interested in it, and so stayed with me to hear the presentation. A few months later, I started massage school, and actually Heather, who was a presenter that I'd listened to, she is also a massage therapist, and incorporates that into her practice and offers Reiki to her clients as well as just more traditional massage. And so I thought, well, that might be something I could learn and sort of add to my skill set. So why don't I, explore that a little bit? And as I was on her website looking around, I saw that she had an intro to chakras class. And I was talking with my brother-in-law about it because it just kind of came up in conversation. And I had no idea that he had been long interested in in energy since he was a young, like probably a teenager. And he had recently been studying Tai Chi as a part of a rehabilitation program. He had become partially paralyzed from the chest down after a surgery a couple years before, and you know, took on Tai Chi as a way to help with regaining his balance and his equilibrium. And so we started to talk about, you know, what I understood about Reiki and about Tai Chi, and we decided that we would go to this class together. So we went to the Intro to Chakras class, and it was amazing. It was really just a two-hour workshop. We learned about the different chakras, sort of what they're associated with on different levels. And then we had a little experiential piece, which was the part that was really, you know, incredible. And Heather, my teacher, always says, you know, I can talk about it all day, but let me show you. And it's true, you know, just to give somebody an experience can be really life-changing. And for me, it was really intense. And I didn't talk to my brother-in-law about it at the time. He and I partnered up, and he worked on my sacral chakra. And I've had some sexual trauma in my life that I hadn't talked about with people, but I knew it was there. And so it was really like, it was really apparent that I needed to move through some stuff there energetically as well as on other levels that I hadn't really been ready to move through yet. And so that really spoke to me, that really hit home, and it became not so much, hey, this is something I might want to offer my clients, but hey, this is something I need to explore for myself. Uh-huh. And so that was sort of a turning point for me, that it became more than just something, you know, interesting to learn about, but really a way to connect with myself and other people around me on a deeper level, and to connect with my own ability to heal. And uh-huh. So,
can I just yes. interrupt you a minute?
So, yeah, sure.
Yeah, this would be great. So I love your story, and I don't mean to I'm sorry to interrupt you, but if you could speak just a little slower, that
oh,
would be
sure.
great. Thanks. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether it's because it's early morning for me or what, but I just have to really concentrate to pay attention to what you're saying. And a lot of our listeners are, the English is not their first language.
Okay.
So if you kind of slow down, they'll be able to get the words better. Thanks.
Sure. No problem.
No problem.
Do you need me to back up at all?
No. I think that okay. where you are is great.
Okay.
So you found out that Reiki was really for you.
Exactly. And so spoke with my brother-in-law after the class, and shortly thereafter we signed up to become attuned to level one Reiki, and we went through that experience together. And then after that, I had a lot of opportunity to practice on myself, on my friends, on my family, and I felt really blessed that I had the support of such a great teacher in Heather, who would always sort of, whenever I had an exciting story or something I was unsure about, or if I didn't, you know how to talk about something, she was somebody that was there to support me in my Reiki journey. But in addition to that, like I said, I had friends, family, my brother-in-law who was going through the same process as me in terms of where he was with his Reiki training. And I had a lot of people that, you know, were willing to let me practice on them and talk to them about Reiki and give me feedback from their experiences after I practiced on them. Went through level two with Ian, my brother, a few months later. And at that point, you know, you learn the distant healing technique. And that was something, you know, that's something I think is hard for a lot of us to get our heads around the first time. And it's also something that's very difficult, I think, to explain to somebody who's not even familiar with Reiki, let alone that concept of there is no space and time and how energy, you know, isn't bounded by those concepts. And so I had Ian, who we could practice distant Reiki on one another, and we would practice once a week. You know, one week I would send Reiki to him. We would debrief over a phone call, and then the next week it would be my turn to receive. And that was really validating because we had, you know, somebody to who I didn't have to explain it to because I was sort of unsure of it myself, you know. And to have these experiences like, wow, that was happening on your end. That, okay, that's exactly what I was feeling on my end. And so you sort of start to not only believe it, but experience it as something that is, you know, real. And so for me, because it was, I think, not maybe the beginning of a personal journey of healing, and I think I'm still in that journey, but it was an important milestone in my own healing journey to learn Reiki, to practice Reiki on myself, and to receive Reiki from others as well as give. It's also when something is so personal, and there's a certain vulnerability about that. And so for me, it was sometimes difficult to go outside of that immediate circle of friends and family who were receptive and, you know, tell other people about what Reiki was,
right,
because I was so protective,
right,
of that part of my life. And so scary to talk, not so much because I thought they would criticize me or think I was, you know, what is she talking about? You know, you can't see it. You can't hear it, you know? But rather, I didn't want the Reiki to be criticized is what it came down to, because it was so important to me. And so that's something that I had to, you know, slowly grow comfortable with. But I think what really helped me to grow comfortable with that, was having, all of that support around me and becoming more and more comfortable talking about it. And I see so many people who, you know, come to Reiki shares that we host with the Midwest Reiki community, and they're clearly interested in Reiki. They're clearly really happy that they've become attuned and that they have they're making the time to come out and share. But a lot of times people might walk in and say, I've never practiced on anyone besides my daughter, and I don't think I'm doing it right. And, you know, and they're really nervous about it. And so it would be very scary for them to practice on somebody that doesn't know what Reiki is all about. And so this gives people the environment where you're safe, where you're not questioned, and where you have the ability to learn from other people who understand what Reiki is, who are attuned to Reiki, who have all these different experiences and levels of experience with Reiki. And so for me, the most rewarding thing is when somebody can walk away and have more confidence about their own ability to channel Reiki and their own ability to talk about Reiki, and to go home and say, oh, I was at a Reiki share, and somebody asked them, what's that? And now they feel like a support behind them because they have that community of people. And so that for me has been really huge, not only just being a founder of this group, but a member of the group. And so what I've been really most passionate about is making sure that we build that local community of people so that people can grow as Reiki practitioners in whatever way that they would like to grow. So yeah, that's a part of my story. I can continue with a little bit more if you'd like, or if you have any questions so far.
Well, I'm really interested in how lucky you, I don't know if this is, sorry, you have to back up a bit. What really struck me about your story was how beautifully connected you are and were connected to your brother-in-law, and mm-hmm. how fortunate it was that you two were able to have each other. I feel like this experience is wonderful and that you would like to extend this experience to those who haven't been so fortunate to
mm-hmm.
have a close person that you could share with. So I guess I'm curious about you know, his being in a wheelchair and so on always evokes a certain image, and I'm just wondering, how was that for him, if you can speak for him, and were you able to treat him like with first degree also?
Well, so by the time that we did, by the time that he and I were attuned to level one Reiki, he was no longer using a wheelchair, or I think maybe a cane sometimes at that point, but he had gone through a series of sort of assistive devices, and at that point he was able to walk on his own, and a lot of people would see him and he would appear to not have any problems unless you kind of watched how he walked. But what he was still experiencing and is still experiencing, especially in the left side of his body, is just the way that he senses, like his nervous system was affected, obviously. So the way that he senses where his body is in space is very, very different than how he used to and how you and I would sense our bodies in space. So movement for him, he's really retaught himself to move using different type of environmental feedback. So so in terms of working with him, he actually did a lot of work on himself because of, we don't live really close, so we don't see each other a lot. We're, you know, an hour and a half or 2 hours apart. For him, it gave him sort of, I think, and I can't 100% speak for him, but healing on a different level that he had done a lot of physical healing.
Right.
He had worked really, really hard in rehab. He's one of the most determined people I've met. He felt he had sort of reached a plateau with that physical healing, mm-hmm. and wasn't sure what else to do with that. And so this gave him not only another way of healing, but hope that there was still healing ahead for him, and he wasn't done. He wasn't stuck where he was because he wasn't ready to be stuck where he was.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
That's great. And wonderful that you were actually be able to be a part of that in some way.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering, if you don't mind sharing this, how your process went about your own healing that you were awakened to during your first treatment.
Yeah. And so that kind of connects back to the rest of my story that I was, I didn't want to talk too much and then lose what you wanted to ask. So this is a perfect segue. I had an experience when I was about 14 years old, which some might call rape, and it's actually hard to say because there's not a full memory of what happened. And it's something that I'm just able, the fact that I'm able to talk about this on a radio program with you is a big step. And then there's a healing happening. So sort of there were two big unresolved issues in my own, history that I just kind of hadn't dealt with for many years, that being one of them. The other one being my relationship with my father, who passed away about a year ago now. And those were, I think, affecting my mental health, and I've suffered with depression on and off for many years, and couldn't really understand that what was behind that. Mm-hmm. wasn't ready to see what was behind that, basically. And so I knew that these two issues were there, but I went to therapy and really avoided talking about them. So it's funny how sometimes we seek therapy and we don't really want to address the stuff, or we're not ready to address the stuff that's underneath there. And so for me, what Reiki, I think the biggest gift that it's given and is still giving me is the sort of the ability to know that everything is going to be okay. And that it's okay to talk about what's actually sort of at the root of things, what's actually potentially the most painful, but also the most healing.
Mm-hmm.
And that I have a way to, I can do Reiki. I can do Reiki on myself, and it helps release some of that, really deep trauma that I'm carrying around. And I never thought of it that way, that there was a way to sort of release that on a physical or energetic level. And so now I realize, there is a way through it. What was I going to say? I lost my thought. I think just again, that sort of knowing that everything will be okay, is something that I didn't have before. And I do remember what I was going to say. There was a point, not too long ago where So I entered therapy after having been attuned to Reiki, and then I was ready to talk. I'm like, okay, here I go. I can talk about this stuff. And part of it is that what really inspired me to do so was that once I became attuned to Reiki and was practicing regularly and really feeling this connection to the world around me and really having experiences that solidified that connection and made it feel real, I felt really, really good and probably better than I had in my entire life. I was sort of, you know, just sailing through and everything's going to be fine. Not that there were never any problems, but sort of an assurance that all would be okay. And then I kind of fell into a little, like an old landmine. Uh-huh. And I kind of, you know, I'm like, oh, I thought everything was fine. And now it feels really, really bad. Because it's not that it felt any worse than it used to. It's just that I knew what it felt like to feel really, really good. Because I was at that high of knowing, of sort of connecting with the Reiki energy, connecting with, you know, life around me. And so that fall seemed really great this time. Mm-hmm. That fall into sort of that, you know, almost depression. Maybe not quite, but I was like, wow, this really is not a good place to live. And so that motivated me to say, you know what, I really need to do something about this and I really need to address, what I know are the underlying, you know, things in my life that haven't been addressed. So, mm-hmm. So that's really, I think, how Reiki has supported me in that process.
That's really beautiful. Thank you very much for sharing that.
I know that
it will inspire others because it's a very common feeling to have this feeling of knowing that there's something to be addressed and not knowing quite how to do it or what step one and step two is. And
yeah.
I feel that that's just the most beautiful example of how Reiki supports us to get to our authentic self and to heal the things that we really need, that are really on top. And, lovely. Thank you.
Thank you.
And what I'm really I guess the word is impressed with, is that you're willing to just take this experience that you've had and extend it and say, and I want this for everyone. That's what I get from you.
I agree. That is, that's a good, I never thought of it quite that way, but that's a good way to say it.
Yeah. So that's wonderful. And so how did the idea of the Midwest Reiki community come? And I really like the name of it because I'm very into this word community and I'm very into the concept of community.
So from my perspective, it started with Heather, my teacher, who you will be featuring on the show as well. She sent myself and other students of her an email saying, hey, there's going to be an opportunity and a space for us to get together regularly and practice on one another. And I was like, yes, I'm in, you know, and it was something we had talked about doing, but finding a space, especially in a city where everyone has a tiny little apartment and, you know,
right.
was one of the barriers. And so, but what had happened behind the scenes before I received that email was, Tracy Ostrin, who you'll also interview, she sort of had this idea of let's create union within the Reiki community. We have some people have different beliefs about how Reiki should be practiced, different types, you know, there's variations within the training, but let's you know, create union and share and have a space to do that. And so that was her original idea. She reached out to some other teachers, including Heather, and then that original idea grew into not only creating union among those who are already Reiki channels, but spreading the word and doing outreach to people who maybe are not familiar with Reiki and who maybe don't have the most resources to pursue Reiki training or Reiki experiences. And And then that's also, you know, something else we really have grown into is sort of being an informational resource for people. So, you know, we have this local community, but we also have our virtual community. And so it's information, it's using social media to connect people. And, you know, I know that people come together on different levels. And so I really appreciate the personal interaction, and you know, we do Reiki shares twice a month, and for me that's been really a wonderful regular thing in my life, and to be able to offer others. But there's also different levels of interaction, and people can connect on Facebook, and now you know you have somebody who wants to come to your other event and that kind of thing, or now you know about all these other modalities that are out there that maybe you had only heard of Reiki, but there are other things that you want to explore, and so people can connect and explore those things together.
That's great. So let's see. I really like the part about you're kind of combining all of your passions together in one. I think that's really great. And so how long has the association, has your organization been going, I guess? Sorry for my English.
I believe our first official meeting was about a year, year and a half ago. It was in March of 2012. So we're relatively young as an organization.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Great. And yet you have been busy beavers. from what
yes,
I
we
see
have.
On the web. And so I'm just wondering, do you all just get together, brainstorm, and then since you're a runner, you're a kind of doer, I would imagine. So you just say, okay, that's a great idea, let's do it. And away you go. This is my surmising. Just interested in how you get your energy up and get going.
Yeah, well, it is, so there are four of us that have been sort of the consistent facilitators of making this group happen.
Uh-huh.
And that's really a blessing, because each of us does get tired sometimes. But when there's a few people, you always can, you know, sort of lean on one another when somebody's really busy, or because we're all doing this in addition to our regular work.
Right.
This is, you know, all volunteer at this point. And so, having the support of others, having the energy of other people to kind of keep each other motivated, it's been really important. And so we communicate a lot over email, just because we all have different schedules, and that's sometimes the easiest way to talk. We also, Gina McLaughlin, who relocated to Boulder about, 9 months ago, and who is our web guru, so you can give her credit for how beautiful all of that looks. So because she's in Boulder, we'll often, when we all want to talk face-to-face, so to speak, we'll do like a video call online to sort of, you know, and that can be really helpful, because as, you know, anybody listening to the show knows, there's sometimes it's difficult to do things over email, especially when you're growing and figuring out what you want to do next. But also at this point, we sort of have our regular events. So we know that we do Reiki shares twice a month, and we have generally, you know, the days and that kind of thing that we want to do them. And so we just, we make sure that those happen. Whenever somebody has an idea to do an outreach event, whether that's us or we encourage other people to, you know, reach out to us and say, hey, I have a contact at this organization, they'd really like you to come and give Reiki at this event. Whenever that kind of thing comes up, we sort of have one person that's the main go-to person. So like with the veterans event, Heather has really spearheaded that outreach effort and been our liaison and been our organizer. But, you know, then whenever we need, you know, whenever somebody needs support, then we reach out to others. And so it sort of works out that we all pitch in wherever needed. So hopefully that continues as we continue to get busier, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's great. That's wonderful. So for you, what have been your, I think whoever wrote this wonderful email back to me about the core four mm-hmm. and all of your passions, I'm just wondering if some of the programs that you're offering in the Chicago and now Boulder area are about like having regular Reiki exchanges and that is a way for you to support other people in keeping on with their Reiki practice and finding out how they can use it with one another and with themselves to be beneficial, for the practice to be beneficial. And I'm just mm-hmm. wondering if you can share with us what your exchanges sort of look like. Is it just that you come together and, you know, at a set time, everybody knows the routine and you exchange Reiki together? Or does Heather come or does somebody facilitate these, you know, hours? Or are yeah. there 2 hours? Mm-hmm. And, you know, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so the way that it works is we have a set space that we meet at, and a big thank you I should mention to Neil Baldiga. He owns the soon to open Urban Escape Healing here in Chicago, and mm-hmm. his mission is to really create community, mm-hmm. and use community to educate one another. And so this fits right in line with his mission. And so we've been meeting there regularly for maybe 3 months now, and we've had various homes in our organization's lifetime, but this seems to be our most permanent space. And so that's one thing, that we have a regular space that we meet, and like I said, we do 2 exchanges a month, and usually one of those exchanges is really purely focused on exchange, and the other exchange is there's usually a guest speaker and then time to share Reiki with one another and incorporate what that guest speaker spoke about. So whether that's essential oils or using crystals, we've had acupuncturists talk about, you know, incorporating some of the concepts of meridians, and so that can be really a big draw for people to kind of expand their tool set and experience new aspects or new nuances of their Reiki practice. The way that we generally facilitate them is that one of the four, well, really three, because Gina does the same thing out in Boulder, so one [S2] Right. [S1] Of the four of us, and she's working with a couple women out there, but we will have at least one of us there to facilitate and sort of, you know, be the host, make sure that, you know, things are moving along, that people, you know, just make sure that people
have some guidance. Stuff, right?
Yeah, just some basic, you know, hospitality and, hey, okay, now we're going to, you know, break out. And does anybody want to work in just pairs? Because sometimes people just really want to work one-on-one and practice that or have that more, you know, intimate experience versus right. sometimes people will work in larger groups and we'll have like, you know, groups of 5 or 6. I think the most we've done is like a few minutes of like 12 people giving Reiki to one person, but they only tolerated a couple minutes of that. That's a lot of Reiki flowing. But you know, so we'll just sort of let people decide how they want to share and with how many people. And then we just sort of set some time, you know, okay, we have an hour to share, and then we'll have a half hour afterwards to sort of share experiences, which I think we're trying to make sure. It's so easy to, like, people just want to keep giving Reiki and giving Reiki, which is wonderful, but also part of it is creating that community and having that support. And so making sure that we have time afterwards to really debrief and share anything really interesting that happened, or ask questions like, hey, I felt this, or this tends to happen when I'm giving Reiki or receiving Reiki. Does anybody else experience that? What do you think about that? And so it's really a learning environment and a supportive kind of environment. Mm-hmm. And that can be one of the most rewarding things, because we, as Reiki channels, sort of become more comfortable talking about Reiki. And then hopefully, as we become more comfortable talking about Reiki in a group of people that is clearly, you know, on board, then we can walk out into the world and feel more comfortable talking about Reiki to people that don't know about it, but that maybe want, that maybe they need to, maybe that's part of their path to learn about Reiki. And the more confident and capable each Reiki channel is, the more that they're going to be able to spread that to the people that they come into contact with on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm. Great. And do you have any issues, or do you have any strategies about when you get people who have different forms of practice? What do you do with people? This is always an interesting question for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you have set hand positions or a set way to do it, or how do you work with that?
Yeah, so that's a great question. It's something we've discussed quite a bit, and all been of the mind that we really just want to spread Reiki, and we want to create union. And so in order to do that, we're really open to whatever your practice and training brings to the table. And especially, hey, if you do something differently, maybe you could share and speak at one of our events and talk about that. But our only requirement for the Reiki shares is that you're attuned to, at least to level one. We've had some people come to our Reiki shares, that haven't been attuned to Reiki. And that is one situation that we do all agree that, you know, they really, we can be hospitable and give them maybe a short experience of Reiki, but to not take away from people being able to practice. Really, the purpose of this is for people to be able to practice and also receive as Reiki channels. So,
yeah, that's really interesting, and it's impressive because. And this shows my bias because I say that it's impressive. because some people really get into another priority, which is to be able to spread the Reiki practice by allowing other people to come who haven't had Reiki. And then it becomes a whole different focus. You know, your focus mm-hmm. is to support people who are already initiated and or attuned, and this other one is to draw people into the class. So I think that, or to draw people into Reiki, I will say it that way. So
right.
I really like your focus, and what brings to mind is this, lately I've been having these things about people say, well, how can we support people in doing Reiki? And one of the things that is so fascinating for me is that, you know, you're a runner, so you know what I'm talking about when I talk about the word practice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and it takes a lot of discipline to do the practice daily, or, you know, however much you practice. And, mm-hmm. you know, when I think about martial art dojos, they really encourage people to come every day. And, you know, I think that some of the martial artists that I, students that I know go 3 to 5 times a week to the dojo and
right.
practice with other people. And, you know, somehow in the history of Reiki and so on, we've lost this piece. And I don't know if we ever had it. I know my grandmother did because she did. She basically, her head was Reiki 24/7. And if somebody wanted a Reiki treatment, it didn't matter what time of the day or night, practically, she was there. And in her lifetime, she, you know, she gave, I don't know, thousands and thousands of treatments, right? And I don't know if anybody on this planet today has the same kind of experience as she does, but she did before she died. But as an accumulation of the number of people who are doing Reiki, of course, that is exceeded by, you know, exponentially. So there's a place where I'm really excited about the possibility of like a Reiki dojo. And in order to come to that place, the focus really has to be on the support of the students who are already students and who need encouragement, and part of the encouragement is practice. We just, I think, you know, I can just speak for myself as an American. You know, it takes a certain personality, I think, to understand the word practice and overcome some of the social beliefs in our society about practice and longevity of practice. Because it seems like we're very into instant or instant gratification and, you know, virtual running. I got into that because, of course, I didn't want to practice. So when the virtual communities happened, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, I can do this. I can, like, imagine in my mind that I'm running or imagine in my mind that I'm bicycling. But it just isn't the same, I have to say. And so I'm just wondering if you all have any kind of vision for the future about continuing this really clear priority of support for Reiki people.
Well, I'm really glad that you brought that up. And the example of the dojo is a really good one. As I was preparing for this call and sort of thinking about, you know, what I think I see as one of our directions that we would like to continue in is I was thinking of the, of like yoga studios or of meditation centers, right? And so some of these other practices that, you know, people can kind of think about as, in parallel to like the way a Reiki practice functions is they've done a really good job of creating a space and creating community within that space to support people. And so nobody says, oh, I went to, you know, yoga class and now I'm just going to practice. I went to one class and now I'm practicing for the rest of my life on my own with no support. That doesn't happen. And so why should it be any different with Reiki? And so we've thought about, you know, and just the other day, one of our members, who's really active with the group came up to a couple of us and said, hey, so I was thinking like, you know, there's so many empty storefronts all around and we should really get one of those. And we're like, yes, you know, that's exactly what we've been thinking about is creating a, you know, first we need that physical space, which requires resources that we're figuring out, you know, how do we get there? But then, yeah, having a place where people can come and practice Reiki in a supported environment, in a, you know, and maybe there would be like different workshops or something like that. You know, it's something down the road. But I think that that's so important for people to feel. You know, it's really easy to let something go when you don't have external supports in place.
Yes.
And when it's just within you and your willpower to kind of keep this thing going, especially with something like Reiki that can be really hard to see what is this. I mean, it can be really shockingly easy to see what it's bringing to your life, but there can be points, too, where you're sort of in this, like, Reiki slump, and what is it bringing to me? You know what? I'm so busy. Nobody's going to care if I don't do my Reiki practice today.
Right.
You know, I'm going to go to bed.
Exactly.
It's really easy to fall into that, like with anything. Like you said, like with a run, you know, you're a runner, and nobody's, you know, out there supporting you. I'm part of a running community. I've been running for 20 some years, but it's really nice to be part of a community because it keeps my momentum going. So I just think that there's a way we can figure out that we can do that for the Reiki community and not have everybody sort of sitting in their house alone doing their own thing. Because that isn't really how humans work, you know, so.
Oh, I totally agree with you. Like, mm-hmm. One of the things that is really a challenge for me right now is that I've kind of taken up a challenge for myself, and that is that our Reiki communities can act as we do as individuals. So I guess I can use that metaphor to just continue it. You know, we can sit alone in our house and go, oh, well, you know, I don't know anybody who else who practices Reiki, so I'll just sit here and do it myself. Where, you know, two doors down the street, there's probably somebody who practices Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so many people who are attuned or initiated now that, you know, this whole funny chart, you know, that people do sometimes as kind of a joke about how many people away are people that you know or are runners or are Reiki students. You know, you don't have to go very far to find one these days.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
and I have my own little 3, 4, 5 some, you know, in my local community in Green Valley, and we, you know, just call each other up and say, I'm desperate, come over. and you know, regular ones, but it's very hard because all of us travel a lot, and it's that part's difficult in that. And then I just see that in our local communities, like that are kind of naturally created by the classes, like the classes that Heather teaches is like a community, and the classes that I teach are a community. And like right now, I'm mm-hmm. in El Paso, and I know 2 or 3 other Reiki masters who practice a lot and who teach her, but our circles on the outside, our students are overlapping, but we don't overlap, and I don't really understand that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I'm really wanting to move into this place of intersection where our students overlap and where somehow our communities can overlap and create an El Paso Reiki community, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I just think that. That's, I see that all over the world, that's happening naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that then if we put our will toward it, you know, our intention and our attention toward that, then, you know, that kind of will bring it up to, instead of being kind of an accident that they overlap,
mm-hmm.
that it becomes an intention that they overlap and that there's some willingness to do that. And part of the willingness is for people to talk to each other. So,
yeah. It can be really, you know, I think that word, it goes back to that word that Tracy originally, you know, focused on, which is union. Because people, you know, as we have this, you know, even in any community, in the Reiki community, in whatever community, we have our human flaws, and I think there's a tendency to think that there's not enough, or that, you know, I'm separate from you, and this is my group, and this is your group, or I'm a teacher, and you're a teacher, therefore we're competitors, or, you know, anything along those lines. And I'm not a teacher, so I can't speak to that, but I know that, you know, anecdotally that there's some of that goes on. And so, you know, Tracy's a teacher, Heather's a teacher, I believe they trained together, at least were initiated to level 1 together, and they, you know, they're working closely to facilitate this community. And one of the things that we would like to do is really reach out to, and we've begun to do this, but to do it more strategically, is reach out to local teachers and encourage them to just, you know, when you're giving your students the handouts that you're giving them to, you know, support them as you send them on their way, and hopefully you're there to support them as well. But include in that information about, you know, a Reiki community that's available to them. And so, of course, you know, we have our community that we would love to continue to grow. And that's, I think, one of the biggest gifts you can give your students as a Reiki teacher. You giving them the initiation of Reiki is a huge gift, but then giving them the sustenance, kind of that sustenance of community, to continue on that journey, or at least the option. You know, maybe that's not for them, and that's fine. But if you can just go try it, and maybe it's going to really allow you to do so much more with your Reiki. I think that is definitely something that's very possible. You know, to do via teachers, because they're the ones that are, you know, turning out all these newly attuned people. And Gina says it the best, that she's passionate about people not putting their Reiki on the shelf once they become attuned. You know, oh, I did that. Let me put it on the shelf and nothing happens with it, you know? And so I think that there's a lot of room to grow in that area, but thankfully I think it's really possible. So.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Right. Me too. One of the things that I did in Arizona, because I live in Arizona, I'm just south of Tucson, and I moved here and, you know, I didn't really have a Reiki community, and I spent a lot of time moving into Reiki communities, so I've always had one around. So when mm-hmm. I got down here, I thought, well, there are obviously Reiki masters everywhere, probably two doors down, exactly. And so I sent out an invitation to all the ones that I could find in the Tucson area and the Phoenix area. And we got together for about a year, and we had Sunday lunches about once every 2 months. And, you know, I kind of nicknamed this Be the Change, because I felt like, you know, this was a change of attitude. I wanted the circle to come together to share the first day that we did this, there were about 35 or 40 masters together, and they were from everywhere, all different kinds of practices. And we just shared our Reiki stories. And, you know, we were all weeping at the end. I mean, it took mm-hmm. forever, right? Hours and hours. But, you know, each one was so touching, and it was so obvious that it didn't matter what the practice was, the human motivation underneath it and what we all received from the practice was the same. Mm-hmm. And I think that really blows people's minds, because how could that happen? And it certainly has been a learning experience for me, because I needed to really let go of a kind of attitude about dishonoring or not honoring my grandmother's teaching and having it be changed and so on. And I just see that it's a human nature thing to kind of own something that we find precious, or our own space. So I mean, this is kind of a mundane example, but and this is the way I help soothe this part of myself. And that is that, you know, when I go into a hotel room, for instance, and I do it still to this day, I instantly make it my own. I mm-hmm. open my suitcase. I put a cloth over the TV. I put all the stuff, all the advertisements in a drawer. I hide the TV remote control, because I don't use it mostly. And, you know, I just, you know, I put my things in the bathroom, and I, you know, move the lamp so that it works for me while I'm reading in bed, and, you know, all this stuff, but we make it our own. And I just got one day, about 20 years ago, that's what people were doing in some way. They just wanted to make it their own so they could feel comfortable with it. And, and I just see that the great gift that Mikao Usui gave all of us was somehow that whatever the stream of energy that he opened up just flows. And there's something about it. I mean, I think that there is a part where there are practices now that don't really connect into the stream because of where they came from. But I think that for the most part, all of these people connect into the stream of Reiki, the energy. And I don't understand it. It calls on me to let go of my competitiveness and my ownership and my feeling that what I have is best. And these are really difficult things, because they're so individually ingrained. So, mm-hmm. you know, one of the things that's happened out of this 4-year experience with these women and mostly, well, these masters, I will say, there are a few men, is that there is a core of us now who are really close friends. And it's just so wonderful. And I feel a real part of a community. And then there are these peripheral people who come in and out, and, you know, they're out there, but they're doing their own thing. And we're all working on this part of us that is unconsciously competitive and unconsciously righteous. And it's good. I mean, it really does. I mean, because when you start talking to these people, you just get that you're human beings together. And that's the most important thing. So I really encourage you guys to, I don't know if you've thought of this, but to really just open up an invitational to Reiki Masters in the Chicago and Boulder area, because there's scads of them in both places. And, you know, and to, and I would really love to know when you do that, because the people that I know who are in those areas, I would really encourage them to go.
Because, and just open up a conversation.
Yeah, and just say, let's just be together. You know, lunch is nice because, you know, a meal is nice because somehow there's like the social element that we all know about and we can deal with that. Then afterward, we didn't do Reiki treatments together for like maybe three meetings because it was just too, you know, it got too personal in our own practice. But when we did, it was really easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was really, really easy. And I don't think that for any of us, stuff came up, and there were lots of different practices. I mean, there were people who didn't touch, and there were people who, of course, always touch, and there are people who moved like every 2 minutes, and there were people who stayed for longer. And, you know, it was, but it worked out. I mean, people just got it, that it was, that we were not trading practices, we were trading Reiki.
That's so different. Yes, that's a great way to say it.
Yeah. So good work, you guys. I really appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. So, what are some of, this is, we're just about out of time, which is amazing. I'm always amazed at how fast the time goes. So what's one of your dreams for this community, like, that you would like to see happen?
One of my dreams for this community is to continue to grow globally but support people locally. And by that I really mean, so we have this older Reiki community chapter, which you'll hear more about in another segment. We have the Midwest Reiki community chapter, which has been around for a little bit longer. But we also, you know, we've formed this umbrella organization, the Global Reiki Communities, and we consider ourselves one chapter, the Midwest Reiki community, another chapter, the Boulder Reiki community. As we work out how does this structure all work, and, you know, how can we support one another, we envision additional Reiki communities forming all over the country, all over the world. And I think that a lot of them are out there. But to have sort of an infrastructural kind of support, and have other chapters to sort of maybe you're a new chapter and we have like a startup fund for you to get started, and we support some of the virtual community aspects, because maybe you don't have somebody who knows how to do all of that online stuff. And so but in the end, what we end up with are these really strong local communities that people can go to continue to practice Reiki, to continue to grow as Reiki practitioners, beyond just, you know, sitting in their house by themselves with their neighbor sitting 2 doors down by themselves. But really, these sort of, because there's power in numbers. There's a huge power in numbers. There's a huge power in community. And so if we can really truly form communities and support them, with whatever they need to thrive. I feel like that's just going to make Reiki continue to grow, and ultimately that's what I think we all want. So
thank you very much. It's a great dream.
Thank you.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.